Well, it's good to see you this morning and to worship the Lord together. let's pray that we will have hearing ears. That's something I always want in my own life, that I would have ears that would be open to hear God, because his voice is the most important voice that any single person can ever hear. And he speaks through his word. But we have a part to play in listening and being attentive to listen. And the Holy Spirit also wants to work amongst us. He lives in every believer this morning, but he wants to kind of make it real. Make it like God's talking rather than the pastor. Because if you hear the pastor, it's I won't change you. But if you hear God, it'll change you. So that's the most important thing. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we give thanks that you are the Good Shepherd, that you're the God who speaks, and that you lead your people through speaking to them. And we thank you for your eternal, unchanging word that carries your life, your power, and your voice to us. And we eagerly desire to hear what you've got to say to us this morning. And we know that your word has power not just for us to hear, but also transforming power. Amen. And we pray that we would be humble enough to accept the things that you say, even if they don't agree with what we think. Yes. Because we acknowledge that your word is the most important word. It's beyond our own understanding, the limits of our mind, because you're God. But I know that you want to speak and do us good this morning. So fulfill everything you've planned through your word and through the rest of our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We just turn to 1 Corinthians. We're starting here and then we'll see where we end up. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians verse 26. For you see your calling. I love that beginning. God calls us into relationship, but he's got a call on our lives that goes way beyond kind of just existing, living, sleeping, eating, working. Yeah. Normal. He's got a high calling for each one of us. And many times if we don't see what it is, then we can't actually fulfill our call. So Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks what God is saying, and he says, you see your calling, brethren, that's brothers and sisters, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It doesn't say any, but it says not many. I think that's an important distinction. There are lords and ladies, and there are scientists, and there are brilliant-minded people. There are also very influential, wealthy, successful people that are called to be followers of Jesus. But he says there aren't that many. Most of God's people are in this category. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So you see your calling. God has called not many brilliant, extra special people in the mind of the world. Now, you might think you're brilliant and extra special, but actually, without God, nobody actually is very brilliant or extra special. But God says, I actually called you, not because of your credentials, But because I actually want to show that I love you, I want to do you good, and I want to show who I am through your life. So that if you're weak, I'm going to show myself strong. If you don't have many kind of qualifications, I will be your wisdom and give you wisdom to win in life. And so God's saying, I'm here to turn things around because I've chosen ordinary people to do an extraordinary work through them. And Jesus exemplified this when he called 12 disciples, and he ignored the religious, brilliant-minded people of the day, and he called 12 who were mostly fishermen, people who were ordinary from ordinary walks of society, to come and follow him. And I think that gives us all hope. Because if I look at myself, I would actually say, there's no way I could do something extraordinary with my life. Especially when you've lived a bit. I think you start off young with loads of dreams about what you can do, and then you realize, didn't quite work out as I thought it was going to. So God chooses intentionally and calls us so that he can show himself to be God through our individual lives, that nobody will boast. Nobody will be able to say things like, aren't I great? Aren't I awesome? Aren't I brilliant? But everybody will look at your life and say, flipping heck, that's God. Because there's no way that could have been them. Otherwise, you get the glory and he gets none. But God's saying, I'm looking for a people who will reveal my glory, not their own abilities. And I find it so exciting that God uses ordinary people to do amazing things through. And when God wants to bring a remarkable victory, particularly over the enemy, he actually doesn't look for human strength. He looks for availability. Are we available to God to do something extraordinary through? Now we're going to look at this morning the life of a person called Gideon. Because Gideon saw himself and actually was a very weak and not very mighty person. And God wants to change Gideon so that he becomes supernaturally empowered to do something extraordinary through. So we're going to look at Judges 6, but I'm hoping those of you who know this story will actually hear it for the first time, rather than say, oh, I know all about Gideon. I've heard the story before. I pray that you're going to hear God speak to you personally. So let's look at Judges. The book of Judges, and it's a time in God's people's life, in the nation of Israel, where there's a whole lot of defeat going on. And the Bible makes it clear it's because initially the reason for that defeat was because people had done wrong. God's people had done wrong in the eyes of God. They had sinned. And they'd gone away from God. They'd turned to other gods. They'd been spending their lives on everything else but Jesus, and not listening to him and not obeying what he was asking of them. But when things got really bad, they cried out to the Lord. And God always, always, always hears prayer. And when we cry out to God, he answers. And he does something when we pray. The sad thing is that they had trouble for 7 years. They spent 7 years of oppression and trouble before they prayed. And my advice to anybody in this room will be that you pray in the first day and don't wait for 7 years. Because the longer you wait, the more time you have without God's help. But prayer brings God in to help. So before you pray, it doesn't work. But when you pray, God comes and he begins to work in someone's life and situation, and particularly the nation. So we're going to read these few verses very quickly. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian, that's like an enemy, prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens and caves and strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, leaving no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels without number, and they would enter it, the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when, notice the word when, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that God began to answer and bring a word. And I'm not going to read that bit, but they began to move. God began to move after that point. Now, I was recently praying and fasting, and I had a word from the Lord about this scripture. And God spoke to me and he said, these days are going to be like the days of Midian. As in the days of Midian, so my church are going to rise and bring a great victory over the enemy. So it's going to be like these days if you want it to be. I actually want it to be like this incredible turnaround from abject defeat into victory and seeing the enemy driven out. Now, Jesus was very clear that there are two forces at work in the world. He mentioned this in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and he said, the thief comes, and you could say the Midianites kept stealing everything from God's people. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, God is not a thief. If you think God steals stuff, he doesn't. God is a giver. Jesus said, I have come. This is the other thing he said. There's another power, another force at work. I've come, a greater power. I've come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. So we see there is a thief and an amazing giver of life in all its fullness. So there are these two opposing forces, the kingdom actually of darkness, of Satan, and the kingdom of God, which is good. The thief is evil. He seeks to destroy people's lives, oppress them, afflict them, make life impossible to live, and take the good things that God has always planned for people. And so to blame God for evil is to not understand anything about what's really going on. Because God is always good, and Jesus says, I've come to give life And life in all its fullness. We need to be fully convinced of that. Yes. If we're to have a relationship with a good God. God is good. Satan is bad. And so in the history of the nation of Israel, God had planned for them a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, with the best things, just as God has given us as his people, the church in Christ. We have a rich inheritance in Christ. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. But we are also in a time where there is a very real enemy who wants to steal the good things that God gives. And God is raising a church not to be complaining about what the devil's doing, but actually on the offensive and seeing God's victory in people's lives. Not just ours, but for the whole of humanity, actually. And God, after people began to pray, God begins to say, right, I need an answer. I need to get something on the move here. And he goes and sits down and has a chat with a guy called Gideon. I love it that God comes to sit down. I can't imagine. I mean, no. Okay, Jesus actually is God in human form. He came. God became man. And this is like a picture before he came of the real God. And he comes and pops down and sits. Right, let's have a chat. What grace, what amazing humility that God would come for a chat. And we're going to read this, and I love it because Gideon is not quite the man that God wants him yet to be. So we're going to read here verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat down, that's Jesus, that's the Lord, under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." That's really saying, you mighty warrior. I'd have said, "Are you having a laugh at me? Are you joking?" I would have. If I had been Gideon, I'd have gone, "With me? Really? You say that's who I am? Is that really? The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon replies to God, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' And now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So he's actually saying, "I can't quite believe. You're saying this, but the picture around me gives no evidence whatsoever that God is here." Isn't it interesting how we can be Christians, but full of where, how, whys? And God needs to move the where, the why, the how out of us and bring us into faith. And he brings faith to a man who is full of fear, because he's actually functioning in a wine press when you don't thresh wheat inside, you go outside because the wind catches the chaff and the grain drops. It's how you function. So this guy is hiding and not functioning as God intends. And the enemy always puts you on the back foot. He always tries to get you into a small place. But God always has a plan to bring you out into victory. And the only way he's going to change Gideon is by Gideon hearing what God says. And that is important. He's saying, I'm with you, you mighty warrior. The next thing that Gideon hears is the Lord turns to him in verse 14 and says to him, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Go in this might of yours. The power. Go in this power. Now, Gideon answers that one and he says, my Lord, how can I save Israel? I can't even save myself. If you look at my life, you're not really talking to someone who's being that victorious currently. How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan or my tribe is the weakest. My family is the weakest in Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. How is this relevant for us today? Why is this relevant for us? Because in many ways, there isn't a person in this room who doesn't face real circumstances in their lives and their circumstances that doesn't communicate, well, where's God in this? Am I talking to real people this morning? Why has this happened? And we can live very much shaped by what's going on around us. Our lives can communicate to us doubt and unbelief because the circumstances are speaking to us about an unreality that we're not seeing God do what he said he would do. And I really believe with all of my heart that God is saying that the Church of Jesus Christ has the power, all the power they need to win. Because I believe what God says. But I have had to allow what God says to change what I think about myself. And that was the challenge for Gideon, is what he was hearing from God was completely opposite to who he was and what everybody else said he was. Everybody said he was the weakest in the family, he was the least in the family, that he didn't have what it took to do anything good. But God spoke and said, no, you, I've called you. This is your high calling. I've called a weak person so that I can be with you. And because I'm with you, I am the game changer. And that through you, you're going to deliver people from the hand of the enemy. God has a job for every one of us, an assignment to see people set free. We have an anointing from God. The Church of Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living within us. And we have power to heal the sick. We have power to set captives free. But the biggest question is, do we believe it? And God's question or God's statement over your life is, you're a mighty warrior. You've got power to go and save people. But he's saying, do you believe it? Because whatever you believe changes you. And Gideon believed the natural about himself. Oh, doesn't the natural frustrate you? When you look at your life, you just think, well, it's only me, or it's only us. I mean, look around the room. Not many might do. Not many that you could say, oh, God can really do something through them. Look at them. Not that we want to tear each other down, but I'm just saying, hey, it's just James. It's Maggie. It's just ordinary people. And God says something different about the ordinary because he sees different to how we see ourselves. Gideon had spent a life of hammering. The enemy had hammered him. His family had told him he was no good. And there are people in this room who have listened to such negativity all their life that what they really believe is that they are no good. And God comes and says, hang on a minute, I've got a different word over your life. God says, I've got a plan, and that is to be with you, to presence myself here and live in you through receiving Jesus Christ. To remove the sin, to remove the failure, to remove the bad reports, to remove the negativity. Because with all of those things, you will never be what God has called you to be. Because negativity never overcomes and brings victory in your life. You see, we're in a battle of faith. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. What is faith? Believing what God says, not what your experience has been. Now, how many people in this room have seen anyone raised from the dead? Anyone? I have. Has anybody else seen anyone raised from the dead? Right, well, Jesus says that's what we've got power to do. Does anybody read the New Testament? Go heal the sick, raise the dead. Has he changed his commission? Okay. Cast out demons. Do we have any believers here this morning? Did Jesus say that, or is this just a different kind of church that doesn't believe the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Right. So God says that's what you can do. You mighty warrior, you. You, this might you have. Not your natural might, but God's might. God's power is with you. That means everyone who has Jesus in them now has the ability to raise the dead, even if you haven't seen it before. You see, Gideon had never experienced what God had talked about. And this is good news if you haven't experienced what God talks about. Yep. That you are able to do. Yep. He says you're able to do it. But the big question is, do you believe? Jesus said, only believe and you will see. Yep. But Gideon believed what he was seeing and feeling. Not believe what God says. And nothing will change, and God won't move powerfully through his church unless we have individual belief going on in the church. So in other words, every person a Gideon, every person saying, well, I know that naturally speaking, I'm not what God is saying, but okay, Lord, I believe it. That is your calling. You see your calling. God calls the weak to put to shame the mighty. God is going to raise an army through Gideon An army of farmers who'd never picked up a weapon, who'd never won anything for 7 years. This is repetitive failure. They were conditioned to fail. Even what they sowed, the enemy would come in and take from them. And so they were always losing. And you know what happens when you always lose? You think you're a loser. And God speaks and he says, you're no loser.
Come on.
I am with you. How can you be a loser if God is with you? How can you be powerless? Can I ask the question? How many of you might feel powerless on a regular occasion? How can you be powerless if God is with you? See, this is the whole message of Christianity. It's not just that we're forgiven. It's that God himself comes to live in us. You've heard this too many times. It's no good for you. Can I just say that? We've heard it too many times. But it's believing it. You see, the youngest believer, the newest believer, if they believe this, they're going to see God move. And it will always be, do you believe? It will always be what you believe and what I believe. And I believe with all of my heart that the Church of Jesus Christ is not powerless, but mighty in God. I believe every single person who's received Jesus Christ has power to heal the sick. They just haven't seen it yet. Why? Are we not believing it? Believers will. We heard last weekend, we're here for miracles. We're reaching for miracles. But unless we believe what we have and who we are, we won't see. We'll just be frustrated for the rest of our lives and say, well, God says, but I've never seen it. How many of you want to change the God says, I've never seen it, to God says, I'm seeing it? Anybody else? Just God can turn the world upside down with 12. It's okay. God says it. I'm here to see it. I'm going to believe I will see what I haven't yet seen. What I've struggled with for years and not seen a victory in. What I've never seen happen before. God says, I'm going to see happen. And it's not just for me. Gideon was like given a calling that was for others. And the power that God has put in your life isn't just for you. It's for others. Tell somebody next to you, what you've got is for lots of other people. And so I feel that God is coming down today. I mean, he's here. And he's sitting next to each one of you saying, I'm with you, mighty warrior. Go in the power I've given you. And you will deliver people from the hand of the enemy. I hate the enemy. I hate what he does to people. I hate sickness. It's from the enemy. I hate suffering. Yes. Pain is from the enemy. Yes. We're not here to tolerate the Midianites.
Yes. Amen.
Satan comes to steal. Jesus says he's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. The enemy is no longer master of a new creation. The new creation is the master of Satan through the faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We are here to run him out of town. And I mean that, not just theory. But God knows, in order for Gideon to be used, he really needs to start believing what God says about him. Because until we really do believe personally, not because you've heard a message, but because you accept, Lord, I'm weak. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too busy. I'm doing all of that. I've got all on and I'm doing it afraid of this happening, that happening, that happening. And, you know, I'm sure the enemy's going to come in. It's been repetitive, so he's bound to come again. What a negativity. And that just breeds failure, more and more failure. Questions won't deliver you. Understanding everything is not what the Christian life is about. The Christian life is a faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But God, if you could see what God sees in you, you'd be like, brilliant. No problem. Not, this is a particularly tough message because it means I've got to do something with what I've got. Particularly difficult this morning. And yet it should be an absolute joy. That God says, I'm calling you. Get out your little wine press. Out of fear.
Yes.
Out of being intimidated. Out of naturally speaking. I find myself, when I use the word naturally speaking, I'm thinking, why am I talking naturally? I should be God using God's words. God says this. What could God do through one believer? Well, look what he did with Gideon.
Right.
The story ends with such a tremendous victory. And it wasn't through human strength or a human army. It was supernatural. It was a spiritual victory that brought about difference of life for many, many people. We can settle for where we are, guys. And I'm preaching to people who don't want to settle. To settle for, this is it. This is who I am. This is it. It's just me. Oh, it's just my character. It was in my family. It was in my father's father. So it's me. Oh, it's my inheritance. You know, I'm bound to get sick. They got sick. They got sick. They got sick. I'm going to get sick. I was talking to a lady recently. I can't remember who it was. And they were like, well, you know, depression's in the family. Sickness is in my family. It's all disaster in my family. And they're a Christian. I said, well, sweetheart, you died. When you accepted Jesus Christ, it's like the old you died. So your natural inheritance is over and you've got a new inheritance. You haven't got a future of depression in Christ Jesus. Failure isn't your future. God never gives birth to failures. And anyone who's in Christ has been born of God. How can you be a failure with Christ in you? And so we see this natural thinking, natural speaking that actually sets boundaries and limits. And God says, I need to break that off by you believing that I am with you, mighty warrior. That you are here to bring victories in the name of Jesus. And to lead other people into victory. Mighty warrior, not defeated poor you. Go in this might you have. And you will. I've known some of you years. We can get accustomed to who we are naturally. But I can imagine what God could do with a believer this week out there in the world. Healing the sick, speaking words of life. Seeing people in agony and pain set free. Captives to addiction or whatever is going on in their lives. You have the power to deliver them from the hand of the enemy. But do you see that about you? Some of you are getting there, aren't you? But you know, we have to work with the word. If God says he's with us, what does that really mean? Has it hit you afresh that God is with you? Yes. Does it change you? Your personality, it's this only me is changed to God's here. It's not only me. It's a bit different, isn't it? I know I'm here. You've got this package. But I know who is really here. God. Christ in me. Treasure in jars of clay. I might look like I'm perishing on the outside. But inwardly, I'm being renewed. The outside package may not look brilliant, but on the inside, awesome! Why? Because God is in this place. God dwells in the hearts of those who believe. And whoever believes will see the glory of God. Only believe. We've got to get back to the believing, not looking for miracles. Believe first. It's cart before the horse, really. Unless you believe first with all your heart and you begin to agree with God. And then you know all the times you and I tell God what we can't do. Has anybody ever had that kind of conversation? Like, oh, Lord, you've no idea you've picked the wrong person to go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Has anybody ever said that to the Lord? You picked the wrong guy or girl, you know? This is not quite how I thought it would go. I said, God ignores what you've got to say back. So Gideon comes out with all of these. God sits down and says, Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Well, if God is with me, go in this might you have. It totally ignores all your excuses.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, I'm not even going there. I can't be bothered. I'm here to change you. You're not here to discuss this with me. I'm God. This is what I'm saying. This is the truth. And I'm saying it in love, but I'm saying it so that you don't live forever in what you're in and you become someone I can use to set people free. It starts with belief. And you know, the enemy was completely annihilated through this army. Unlikely looking bunch they were. God does his greatest work through the weakest of people. When you realize it's not I, but Christ. I'm going to finish with something that Jesus said. And that's in John 15. Let's just turn there. How many of you are enjoying hearing what God says about you this morning? Yeah. How many of you are challenged? I am. Yeah. I'm challenged. Yeah. Why? Because I'm challenged to believe it first. Before I do anything else, I'm going to believe it and act. Not because I'm told to, but because I believe God has said it and it's true. In John's Gospel, Jesus spoke about the picture of the Christian life here. He gives this image of a vine, that he is the vine and his people are the branches. And it's a wonderful picture of the Christian life, but there are two sides to this picture. And Jesus in verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So Gideon could have done nothing unless God had come. Okay? Do you get that? Yeah. We're not all this is not motivational preaching about what you can do. This is about because God's come. And Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't do any of it. But of course, I knew that before. I knew I couldn't heal the sick. I knew that I couldn't raise the dead. And I knew I couldn't cast out demons. Before I received Jesus, it was impossible. But with him, all things are possible. So there are two sides, and he speaks to the Christian life, and he says, he who abides in me. Now, if you think of the vine, it's kind of like usually a very thick trunk. Not the most attractive wood, and they never make anything else from it but fruit, wine. Interestingly, that's what God wants, is fruit from our lives. He's wanting to make lots of fruit of his life in us. And the vine has the branch connected, that when we receive Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior, before we receive him, we are in sin. We are outside God and every blessing. We're actually under the dominion of Satan. I remember when I heard that before I became a Christian, I was really horrified. I had a reaction that I wasn't right with God. And actually, 6 months later, I bowed my knee and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. But when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get joined in to Christ, like the vine and the branch, connected. And that connection speaks of our position. This is the first side, our position in Christ. And because of him, we are in Christ. We are justified by faith. That's a wonderful word. The scriptures say you're justified just as if you'd never sinned. In Christ, just as if you never sinned, accepted in the beloved. So in other words, you're accepted in Christ. Right now, by faith, receiving Jesus Christ, every believer in this room is accepted. In Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Joined, one with the Lord. And that's a position, it's a standing before God. You are right in his eyes because of Jesus. Not because of you, but because of Christ in you. So you are in Christ, abide in me, so live connected is what he's saying. Live out of your position, that relational connection. But then he says, I in you, abide in me and I in you. And so he's speaking of the second side of the Christian life. It's about receiving a flow of life from the vine. The branch doesn't live without the vine. And the life that comes up from the vine through the branch that then bears fruit. And so you in Christ and Christ in you, he flows to you and through you. And that speaks of an ongoing walk and relationship with the Lord. So you're connected, you're justified, but also his life lives in you. Now when it comes to the enemy, you already have victory because Christ is your victory. Yeah. His life is a victorious life. But we live by that, by faith in him. The life I live by faith, trusting him and allowing his victorious life to flow through me. I've known people pray a prayer, get connected, but never live in the life. Like they're like dried off branches. It's like someone being married. You can be married and have a legal contract, but you can, to make that real contract, that unity work, you have to have a living relationship, that shared life. So it's not just a position, it's a life lived. So that's our relationship with the Lord, is we're connected through faith in Jesus, but it's also a daily walk by faith. Now Gideon speaks to us about God's acceptance. The Lord is with you. He speaks to us about his victory in us, mighty warrior. Go in the power you have is the power of God within us. And you will deliver these people. Just like the picture of the vine, so it is with the Christian life. He is our victory. How can you not do the things that Jesus says you can do?
Right.
Let's turn it on the other way. It's unreasonable to think you can't do all of that.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. If God really is living on the earth, it doesn't make sense. Do we have any believers? It doesn't make sense. You're not raising the dead. Delivering people from affliction and sickness. It doesn't make sense. Why? Because Christ is in you. But he's going to work with Gideon in bringing him to faith, but also teaching him how to walk by faith so that that flow is a powerful flow of victory.
Yes.
Out of his life.
Yeah.
But the first things first, we have to believe. Only believe. God is with you. God dwells in you. How could everything not work because of that? God is able to do far more than you could ask or imagine in your life. Whatever you've not won before, you're going to win now. Providing you don't settle for where you are. And you start believing what God says is true. Some of you have spent years of being diminished. It's time to believe what God says about you. It's a good, good thing that God is saying. Some of you have been listening to the enemy to say, you can't do this, you can't do that. But God says, I'm with you. You're different to what you think, feel, or what people say. Go in this might you have. And you will deliver. I will use you to save the lives of many. And in doing that, Gideon found personal victory. He came out of all his fears through faith. He was delivered from all the power of the enemy, restrictions on his life, and he became another person. Another person. And that's what Jesus says. Anyone who's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
Amen.
You are not anything like the person you feel or think naturally. You are who you are because God says it's who you are. God, I'll tell you a story. I'm hoping it's going to help you this morning. But God always has a plan A, and it's to show his power in the things we've never won before. And the devil's always got a plan that you live and settle with where you're at. The devil loves Christians who settle. Settle for going to church, settle for coming to hear the word, settle for what they already see happening, and never reaching out for greater things. And a story about, I heard recently about a guy called Ben Gurion. I don't know if that's how they say it, but you go to Israel, you fly into the airport named after him in Tel Aviv, Ben Gurion Airport. And he was, when he was a young man, his father was a teacher of the law of Hebrew. He was a Jew. And as a young man, he really believed God's plan for his country, for his nation. Like the church, we really believe. God's plan A was that God gave the land of Israel to the Jews. And that land was forever going to be theirs. That there was never going to be a retraction from, a withdrawal from the plan. And you will know, won't you, that in everything that God does, the enemy wants to fight it. He's got a plan to steal it, because he's the thief that comes to steal. You know that, don't you? In your own life, God's got a plan that you live in all the fullness of Christ. The enemy loves to steal and get you off that plan and accept plan B. So this young man, he was quite a zealot for the things of God and for the things of his nation. And the enemy, well, other nations, but the enemy using other nations, wanted, they were anti-Semitic, which is a curse. It's an absolute curse. If it, you know, we need to fight spiritually, prayer, anti-Semitism, because God wants his people, the Jews blessed. Anything racist, whatever it is, disgrace, to come against any particular people group. All are created in the image of God, yes, in his likeness. Amen. And there are no prejudices in Christ. But God has a special plan for Israel. Yes, they are his people. They don't always do right, let me tell you. It doesn't mean they need Jesus. They need the Messiah. They're not going to be saved without him, which is why God sent the Messiah. And they will come to know him. God's going to open their eyes in the right, you know, it's happening. But there is a move of God happening amongst the Jews. But this young man, he was very zealous. And politically, they decided to try and do something about the Jews. And they came up with a plan called the Uganda Scheme. And that scheme was, we'll sell it to the Jews that they move out of Israel and move to this particular location in Uganda. And so they kind of spoke it to the Jews and they said, why don't you just accept this plan? Bring you out of what God said, although they didn't say that, but bring you out of Israel and pop you into Uganda. And this young man was like, never. And his dad, who was a teacher of the law, began to waver a bit and say, well, at least there'll be peace there, boy. Let's just go to Uganda. Not that there's anything wrong with Uganda, but that's just not Israel. And this young man said, I will never accept it. We will fight this because that's the wrong plan. God has a plan and I'm not settling for anything less. We're not settling. Is the church listening today? We're not settling. This is communicating the Gideon message. We're not settling. And a politician from this country actually went to Ben-Gurion and said, listen, just accept it. It's nice. It's a nice place. There's plenty of room for you. And he looked at this politician, and he's quite a young man, and he looked at him and he said, sir, would you like London in Paris? And anyway, there's no other river like Jordan. It's where Elisha threw the mantle down and the waters opened. There's no other place called Jerusalem where the David and his mighty men won great victories. The history is in the land. You're not moving us from the land. And so they refused. And then, of course, in 1948, Israel became a nation. And, you know, there's still battles going on, but it will never be retracted, Plan A. Plan A over your life is this. And what you've been hearing this morning. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Go in the power you have and do something with it. Do something with what you have. Start to move. Don't settle. Don't settle for failure. Don't settle for less. God has a plan.
Amen. Amen.
And there are many out there waiting for you. They're out there. They don't have Christ in them. They don't have peace with God. They're out there. The Lord is with you. Mighty warrior. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.